This is Jordan Seculo. The FBI releases Comey's emails. Did he lie to Congress?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If colleagues of ours believe I am lying about when I made this decision, please urge them to contact me privately so we can have a conversation about this. All I can do is tell you again, the decision was made after that because I didn't know what was going to happen in that interview.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Comey has now been caught in yet another lie. This time, his testimony, as you just heard before Congress back in September, was very clear that he did not make the decision about, whether or not Hillary Clinton should be exonerated and people associated with her when it regards to the classified documents, the email server, the private email server, until after her interview, when in fact now the FBI has published, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, they have a records vault, and they have published an email from Jim Comey to Andrew McCabe on May 2nd. By the way, Andrew McCabe is still the deputy director of the FBI, which is a little shocking to say the least. This record is completely, of course, you can see redacted. Now, this time they redacted it in white is the way it's printed out. But they don't redact what the statement was regarding. So it says clearly right here, drafts of Director Comey's July 5th, 2016 statement regarding email server and gate investigation. That's Hillary Clinton. And that goes to May. Now, he told Congress that he did not make the decision when he came out in July and announced that there would be no criminal charges filed. He said that he didn't make that decision until after the interview on July 4th weekend of Hillary Clinton and 12 other people. This means he made the decision. It was already pre-drafted. And then he had it sent around by his staff on May 16th, a few days later, saying, hey, we need some comments on this, guys. Please, let's get comments on this. So they were really preparing this. And, I mean, this, folks, goes to the heart of why Jim Comey had no reason to be the FBI director and had many reasons why he should be terminated as he was, let go from his position by the president. Then we knew that this these documents supposedly existed. Senate Judiciary Committee and Chairman Grassley first let people know. We then filed a FOIA. That FOIA was in September of 2017 on this matter. This now we actually can see the documents themselves and see that the FBI director was, in fact, not only had drafted the statement by May, which means he could have been working on it for even longer, months before, but was circulating amongst his team.
Well, first of all, on all these issues, Jordan, we're only getting information when they get caught in a lie. I mean, that's why we have so many of these FOIAs from so many different angles. But a couple of things that are really troubling to me here. First of all, we need to remind our listeners, during this deliberation during May, there were still more than a dozen witnesses that had not been interviewed, including witnesses that got immunity. And Jordan, even in the emails that we have today, a couple of the recipients are still redacted. Are those individuals still working at the FBI, and have they been interviewed by the relevant committees and investigators? We don't know the answers to that, but we do know one thing. Andrew McCabe is on these emails, Jordan. He is now the director of the FBI. For anybody to have confidence that this is an issue that the FBI has put behind them, don't count me among them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's still, again, the deputy director of the FBI is on the emails from Jim Comey saying, here's my statement exonerating Hillary Clinton on the email scheme. I mean, it literally says drafts of Comey's July 5th, 2016 statement. Regarding email server investigation. That's the exoneration statement. And the drafts were coming out and being circulated in early May of 2016. And then later, Comey lied under oath to Congress. I mean, that's a lie to say that he made the decision after. He was already drafting and circulating this amongst his staff. What do you think about it, folks? 1-800-684-3110. The swamp still needs to be drained. I mean, these individuals still around, like the deputy director of the FBI. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a couple issues on the travel ban part three cases. Same judges, same issues at the district court level. We believe the Trump administration will be successful on appeal. We'll talk about that too when we come back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Soundbite again for people from Jim Comey. So he's being asked, this goes back to a flashback of September 2016. So more than a year ago, he's under oath. He is again being asked about the decision he made to exonerate Hillary Clinton and her staff. Take a listen, Bite 4.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
See that quick response right there from Jim Comey? That's lying under oath. I don't know where an investigation potentially stands of his actions. I know the inspector general's looking at it at the FBI, but certainly the Department of Justice could be investigating it. We would not know about that unless it leaked, so it shouldn't. We shouldn't know about that while they're investigating it, the conduct of the former FBI director, fired FBI director. But what we know is that what he answered that congressman with while he was under oath was inaccurate. And that means a lie, especially because he knew. It wasn't like his staff was drafting some statement. He sent the statement to, it's from Jim Comey on May 2nd of 2016, so months before he testified to Congress. This is before, I believe, he was fired as well, because this was before the campaign, the election. And he sends it to his team. This is more than 2 months before Hillary Clinton was even interviewed. And then his chief of staff sends it back to another group, forwards it around, and says, hey, we need to get some comments on this statement so we can roll it into a master document to discuss with the director of the FBI, Jim Comey. So they were preparing the exonerating statement. I mean, the FBI, it says it. This is from the FBI's website, drafts of Director Comey's July 5th, 2016 statement regarding the email server. And then under that, these documents start on May 2nd. That's a long time before July 5th when he made the actual statement. I think this, to me, should be what is outraging Washington, D.C., is that some of these officials as well, by the way, we know the deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, is still the deputy director of the FBI. And he was on these emails as well. And Jim Comey said, let any of my colleagues contact me privately. Of course, he wanted everything to be private until he started leaking documents of people he didn't like about the President of the United States. But at the time, we still have these people at the in very powerful positions of government.
Jordan, two things on this about how brazen it is. Number one, that answer to John Ratcliffe, that's perjury. That's a lie to Congress under oath. And Congress really needs to be jealous about their territory here. We cannot let that stand. They need to follow up on it. But secondly, Jordan, to your point about who is still at the Department of Justice or who's still at the FBI after this, one of the individuals that got this email is James Baker. He is the general counsel for the FBI. And he did not see a problem with drafting an exoneration 2 months before a decision was made. And Jordan, before more than a dozen witnesses were interviewed, including the target, and oh, by the way, including two people that they gave immunity to. How in the world did the general counsel think that that was okay?
So you had the top lawyer of the FBI, the director of the FBI, the chief of staff to the director, and the deputy director of the FBI.
And two redacted officials.
And two people we don't know, all say this is okay. It's okay for us to draft an exoneration before a dozen people are interviewed, including Hillary Clinton herself, in a what was supposed to be an investigation matter, I guess you could call it that, since that was the direction Jim Comey was told to do by Loretta Lynch. This matter, before they'd even conducted the interviews, they were already drafting the exonerating statement, and the FBI has now released it. So we knew from the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee that this existed. We don't get the draft. Obviously, that's been redacted. I think that could probably be fought because it does say that it's unclassified, so they can't. Now, they're certainly they were working on the document. What we could see is potentially whenever they finalized a document, because that would be no longer part of any kind of where they were working on something, deliberating on something, that kind of privilege would be over when they finalized the document, which would likely be the same words that Jim Comey delivered on July 5th, exonerating Hillary Clinton and saying there would be no criminal charges and no prosecution, taking over the job of the Department of Justice as well. I want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. And let's not forget what this guy is responsible for, the special counsel, and what we believe is a total waste of resources in our federal government investigating not Russian interference, because that's one thing that we can legitimately do as a government. Don't need a special counsel for that. But whether the Trump campaign was, you know, coordinating or colluding, words that don't even have legal meaning with the Russian government, this was all because of Jim Comey, who has proven to be time and time again a liar. He's lied under oath this time because he made the decision beforehand. He lied under oath about how many documents they found when they went back and reopened the investigation. Remember, he lied that time. I understand why Hillary Clinton blames Jim Comey. I understand why the president of the United States tweeted some not very nice things about Jim Comey today as well. I think they both have grievances because he was playing politics. He was acting like a Hoover. So the whole Trump dossier, remember that? That goes to Jim Comey. He was trying to use that to pressure the president of the United States. And, of course, the opening and then closing of the investigation within a week and a half before the election. I mean, all of that, again, the FBI playing in politics is much, to me, is more dangerous than Facebook ads from a foreign, to me. Because when you have your own government agencies interfering in our presidential elections by opening and closing criminal investigations and throwing out fake dossiers, which have been disproven and still will not be provided to Congress, by the way, when you do that, I think that that has a lot more of an impact when Jim Comey came out on television opening and closing criminal investigations than any Facebook ad.
Well, Jordan, you expect a foreign power to probably try to interfere in your elections. You do not expect your own intelligence agencies to do it. And I would just make a quick point here, both on this issue and also the somewhat related issue of the Comey tarmac meeting. In both of these cases, Jordan, the only reason we have this information is because we caught them. In this case, the Judiciary Committee revealed that these draft documents existed, and so the FBI had to start rolling them out. In the tarmac meeting question, remember, the FBI told us they had no responsive documents. We had sued the Department of Justice and discovered that they were lying to us in that case as well. So just on the broader point, we only find answers to these things when we push from multiple directions and actually catch them in the act. This is not them voluntarily admitting they lied.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. I mean, because I think that there's some fair questions to be asked about this. Jim Comey, we have not heard yet any kind of response from his team or attorneys about this conflict now that appears to have occurred, the lie to Congress. And again, we do have a call, though, calling in, questioning again what else could be out there. Brian in Connecticut on line one. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm just wondering, you know, words don't mean anything. People use meanings however they want to define them. I mean, could he actually have just been making this document and maybe a document that was the other direction that he has flying around and he's kind of getting all his ducks in a row before he actually did it and he didn't really make the decision until after?
Well, let's say he did. Why would they not have released that? I mean, you know, that would have exonerated to some extent. I think it's still wrong for the FBI to come to conclusions and start drafting indictments. That would be the equivalent of saying you're not going to prosecute. Would be the either the drafting of the indictment or the recommendation that people be indicted for specific crimes. That's really only what the FBI is supposed to do. But in Jim Comey's case, he took it a step further in the statement. He didn't just say we recommend no prosecution. He said there will be no prosecution, and Attorney General Lynch said, I'll do whatever Comey says, remember? Because after that Lynch-Clinton tarmac meeting, she was under pressure to recuse herself. She didn't. She just said, I'll do whatever the director says at the FBI. So, Brian, I think it's a fair point, but if you're the FBI and those documents existed, you could release them under this FOIA, and I think that would, again, that would clear the issue up, is that maybe they were. But I think that both scenarios are scary. But you get to my point is that, Brian, they may say that, like you said, words. They may say that they were also planning that. They had that in the works. But they can prove that if it was actually in writing, Brian. What do you think? I guess Brian's okay with my statement. But then you brought up the concern. I mean, one is I think that if that exists, we should have it. And they probably would have wanted to release it at the same time. Certainly if you were on Jim Comey's legal team, you'd want to release it at the same time. Because then maybe you can make a case that you weren't lying under oath. But at the same time, could you imagine if the FBI is drafting indictments before even interviewing people? That's also a scary thing to think about, and why the swamp that we talk about is real.
I think it makes the problem infinitely worse, yeah. Jordan, honestly. I mean, there is some speculation on Capitol Hill that this will be his excuse, that I was also drafting an indictment. Number one, I don't believe that's true, because I think they had every incentive to release it and show that they were playing both sides, if indeed it was the case. But let's just say I'm wrong. Let's say it's out there. Can you imagine drafting an indictment before you've interviewed two individuals that you gave immunity to in this case to get information from? Jordan, the only reason you give those individuals immunity is to get the information you need to draft the indictment. If you're drafting it before you interviewed them, you are not doing your job.
No, I mean, and folks, understand, the FBI really doesn't have the power to write the indictment. That would be the Department of Justice. Now, could he have written a recommendation and possibly been circulating that around? Yes. That should have been then released. They could have made that clear. They didn't do that. And so he can say that all he wants, but until we see documents showing that, again, you don't need to go there. Go with what facts you have right now. And the facts are Jim Comey lied. He was pre-planning this statement months in advance. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
We're going to keep discussing, obviously, the Comey matter, but I can't ignore another ridiculous former Obama administration official statement. We learned this from Trey Gowdy because this testimony occurred behind closed doors of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which is chaired by Congressman Gowdy. And they interviewed Samantha Power, former UN ambassador for President Obama. She is the individual from the Obama administration that has been, we've been told, is responsible for over 260 unmasking requests made to the NSA, most in the transition period between the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States and the time he took the oath of office. So in the time between November and January, and she was behind closed doors in the committee, and she said to Trey Guy, let me read the quote. She said that she was not the official requesting that unmasking in every case, that people were using her name. And this is what he said. I think if she were on your show, she would say those requests to unmask may have been attributed to her, but they greatly exceed by an exponential factor the requests she actually made. So her testimony, this is from Congressman Gowdy, was emphatic in it. The intelligence community has assigned this number of requests to her. So they're not denying the 260, but her perspective and her testimony from Samantha Power is that it may be under her name, but she did not make those requests. As I tweeted last night, do you believe this for a minute, any of this? I mean, this is, one, probably playing semantics. I'd say the best case scenario is it's playing semantics in that she authorized staff to make the request under her name because she had the authority to make the request. So she may not have even known how many were being made. She just wanted her staff to make requests when they felt it was going to benefit whatever political purpose, and I think nefarious purpose, she was making these unmasking requests for, because there's no excuse for this many. But second, if that's not the case and people can just randomly use Samantha Power's name, then Congress shouldn't reauthorize the portion of the law that allows for this unmasking, because it's obviously out of control, Than. I mean, either way is bad. Either Samantha Power's delegated a very serious power she had to request this unmasking and the NSA didn't mind it, or the NSA doesn't even check who's actually, if the person who they say is making the request is actually that person. I mean, this is another bizarre story from the Obama administration, not denying that the requests were made, but denying that they were actually made by the person whose name it was under. I mean, that just saying that sounds absurd.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that the UN ambassador could request it to this extent anyway. That is not the job of the UN ambassador. They have a job to do, and it's not this. Second, after the American people have chosen a new president, is not the time to ratchet up those requests on the newly elected and incoming president. And third, Jordan, I just happen to have in front of me a FOIA that we recently filed, and your name is on there. So are you responsible for this FOIA, or can that just be attributed to all the rest of us who filed it for you?
And that's a FOIA request, not exactly a unmasking request under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which is a very specific request to have an American whose name was masked appropriately under the law to get their identity because you believe that they may be an agent of a foreign government. I mean, that's the reason why. And no one can explain the 260. What I thought was interesting, Than, is that there's we now know from Congressman Gowdy's statement let's play it. I mean, I read part of it, but I think playing it, because he has confirmed now that number is correct, that the intelligence community has told Congress that is the 260 number is correct, byte one.
The intelligence community has assigned this number of requests to her. Her perspective, her testimony is, they may be under my name, but I did not make those requests. We've got to get to the bottom of that. If there is someone else making requests on behalf of a principal in the intelligence community, we need to know that.
Yeah, we absolutely need to know that. And I think the American people need to know that, because only a few people are supposed to be able to make these requests to the NSA. And if you can do it under someone else's name, that's very dangerous. I mean, we're worried about Russia buying Facebook ads. We got unmasking of Americans done under, we're being told by officials that they didn't actually authorize, or maybe they did authorize. That wasn't clear from Samantha Powers. We got our FBI director who was fired, which led to a special counsel because he was fired, and he even said that he wanted it to be a special counsel who was lying to Congress. And you think these are the good guys? These are not the good guys. They're not being clear. They're not being honest to the American people. I want to take a phone call, and we'll get more of your comments in as well. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Let's go to Dave in Colorado on line three. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
I write for a journal out of Canada, and I'm also tell Jay Sekulow, who cares, but I'm a fellow drummer and a massive fan of his, which I'm corny enough to stick in here. But the getting on to this, with Samantha Powers doing this, it's any port in the storm because she's telling basically, well, I couldn't really help this. It was just sort of out of my hands. And, gee, it got away from me. And it leads anybody else out on the outside to say, well, we might be a little more responsible with the responsibilities you have and the authority that you have. That's a no-brainer. I don't understand, but it's any port in the storm. And then I told your interviewer guy when we first connected, I am amazed at all the voices out here, like yours. I think that that Jay Sekulow's Center for Law and Justice is just absolutely, I think you guys are spearheading the best effort currently to find and hold accountable the criminals that are saturated in the current framework of the swamp.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. I appreciate that, Dave. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I did want to comment on some things you were saying. First of all, I think when it comes to Samantha Power and the responsibility, Diane on Facebook felt the same way. As you were speaking, Dave, she wrote, Samantha Power should still be held responsible, whether she physically did it or delegated it. That's what it sounded like to me. When I first saw this, I said, no, this can't be true. She had to have some role. And whether she did a broad delegation where she couldn't tell you exactly how many requests were put in, truthfully, because she didn't know, that's wrong. And she is still responsible because it is her name that the intelligence community has said made those requests, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen this time and time again, Jordan, whether it's the unmasking, the FBI, the IRS, whatever. Jordan, deep state is not a throwaway line. And just specifically on the unmasking question, if she did delegate this power, and if it did indeed happen, it is troubling enough on its surface. But I keep coming back to this. Those people that she delegated the power to, Jordan, and then abused that power by unmasking to the tune of one a day, they are almost surely still in government. They are almost surely still having some sort of authority to misuse the power of the American people. And Jordan, none of them were elected. They should all be out. And again, this is the problem of the deep state. It's going to take years and years to turn over. But until it's turned over, we're going to continue having problems like this.
Yeah, folks, we come back. We got a second half hour of the broadcast. Remember, phone lines we've got open for you. Want to get your comments on this, 1-800-684-3110. This is a time where Democrat senators on the Judiciary Committee are still asking Attorney General Sessions, who recused himself from the Russia investigation completely. We now have a special counsel. And they're still asking about that. I mean, they're still relitigating that issue. I want to get your thoughts, your comments. Jim Comey, the liar to Congress. Perjury, as Dan said, we have the evidence of that now, the evidence from the FBI of that perjury of, again, not just lying, but doing it under oath is a crime. So we want to get your calls, your comments on that, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour coming up. More analysis of this, of the Samantha Power situation. And on those travel ban cases, again, activist judges at the district court level trying to stop the executive order, the power the president has, those will be overturned. We'll talk about it all. We come back for our second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Talking about freedom.
use that. We don't use that lightly as attorneys, you know, because when we talk about lying, specifically in Jim Comey's situation, we're talking about someone doing it under oath, knowingly, so intentionally, which is perjury, which is a crime in itself. Let me play for you the soundbite to reset the stage in case you're just joining us about why we're alleging this lie by Jim Comey, why we're playing that song. Take a listen. This is when Jim Comey was testifying to Congress, a House committee, back in September. I think it was September 2016. Yep. Take a listen, bite four.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
All right. After. That would seem like what you should do, right? But we have now Jim Comey's email on May 2nd to his chief of staff, his deputy, the deputy director of the FBI as well, was on this email, and some other officials. Oh, the chief counsel, the head attorney for the FBI. He sends it on May 2nd. His chief of staff resends it around to another group on May 16th. What is it? Draft of Director Comey's July 5th statement regarding email server investigation. What did that statement ultimately become? That was the exoneration of Hillary Clinton and the FBI's declaration that there would not only that they don't recommend prosecutions, but that there will not be any prosecutions. And the Department of Justice, of course, said, oh, that's great. Now, and then Jim Comey went back and reopened it. I mean, the whole thing, whether you think he was playing partisan politics or was just incompetent, not capable of handling this kind of situation, I think what it was is he wanted to be the power broker, regardless of who won, became president, Republican or Democrat. He wanted to have this kind of Herbert Hoover-style power to hold over people. So he was kind of playing against both sides, in a sense, instead of just doing what he's supposed to do as a top law enforcement official, which really means stay out of the political process as much as possible. You know, limit that as much as you can. Make decisions when you know that your decisions could have political consequences. Either way, whether you're exonerating someone and then you're doing that months before and then lying to Congress about it, or you're reopening the investigation 10 days before the election, which makes the person look like they're guilty again of something you said they weren't. I mean, all of this goes back to someone who is not competent to lead the dossier. Remember that? I mean, you know, he was holding that over like the president's head, like this was real. And, oh, the FBI has this information. That's, you know, been debunked. And no one would release it until BuzzFeed ultimately did. I mean, there's so much on Jim Comey. But I go back to it because he is the reason why, Than, we have a special counsel. He is why we're still talking about Russia. It is because his parting shot was leaking documents that he said he leaked so that a special counsel would be appointed. And it's been a major distraction politically. I mean, while the attorney general is testifying right now, who recused himself, still many of the questions from Democrats, most of the questions from Democrats, have to do with Russia.
And a premeditated leak at that, Jordan. I mean, he said he drafted the documents in a way that he could then leak them later. Look, right. he's operating in a way where he thinks he's above the law. He inserted himself to do the job of the attorney general when he should have stuck to being director of the FBI. Jordan, two other things. There are two officials on this email that, you know, theoretically, they're even more significant than his chief of staff or the general counsel because they saw fit to redact them. I'd like to know who those officials are and if they're still inside the government. And I have a question for the Congress, too, Jordan, because one of the sound bites you played was him saying, if anyone thinks that I'm lying, I want you to call me directly and talk to me privately. I want to know if any member of Congress took him up on that. Yeah. And they may not reveal that conversation, Jordan, but I think they should be asked, were you satisfied by his answer?
Yeah, I mean, that is the truth is that, I mean, he makes these kind of claims. I mean, take a listen. This is what Jim Comey said after that statement. Obviously, he knew that he must have known to some extent that there was some pressure out there, or maybe that there were some individuals at the FBI, because there's a number of people on this email, people names I don't know off the top of my head that have not been his high-profile names, as well as the high-profile folks. So then he makes this kind of, you know, again, he always was so defiant acting. Take a listen.
If colleagues of ours believe I am lying about when I made this decision, please urge them to contact me privately so we can have a conversation about this. All I can do is tell you again, the decision was made after that because I didn't know what was going to happen in that interview.
That interview, by the way, of Hillary Clinton wasn't even under oath. I mean, the whole thing was a phony fraud. I mean, it was done the weekend of the July 4th holiday, so no one was paying attention. Rightfully so, people are spending time with their families.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The FBI has published Jim Comey emails. Now, you're not going to get a lot. Most of that's redacted. But what is not redacted is what the emails were about and who they were to. Well, for the most part, they even redact some of those people. So never understand. I mean, so you don't redact the director of the FBI, his chief of staff, his chief counsel at the FBI, the deputy director of the FBI, but you redact some of these other folks. Who are they and why are they redacted? That's a big question because you want to know who is still in the FBI. We know that the deputy director is. But they were from May, starting in May 2nd for email from Jim Comey, but and then May 16th again from his chief of staff. And they are what the FBI has titled these in their FBI records vault, Draft of Director Comey's July 5th, 2016 Statement Regarding Email Server Investigation, Part 1 of 1. So that draft of the statement, going back into May, was the statement that not only exonerated Hillary Clinton, but said there would be no prosecution. Not that they would recommend no prosecutions, but that there would be no prosecutions. And Loretta Lynch took it at face value. Bringing in Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst, also an attorney as well, and a senior attorney at the ACLJ. Harry, I want to get your initial reaction to this. Dan and I have been talking about, but your initial reaction. We knew that this was likely the case based off what Chairman Grassley had told us, but we hadn't seen it yet. And even the way the FBI phrased it, I mean, they're not hiding it, that this statement was being drafted at least 2 months before. That was when he was ready, Jim Comey, to send it around to his team.
Absolutely. So we have clear and unmistakable evidence that James Comey commenced drafting the statement at least as of May 2nd, 2016. In reality, of course, Jordan, he was working on the statement well before May the 2nd. So the next question needs to be, when did he commence his exoneration statement on Hillary Clinton? He held this lovely news conference in July saying no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute Hillary Clinton. He rewrote the statutory language in order to exonerate her. This was all part of a faux investigation, arguably from the get-go. It involved Attorney General Lynch and James Comey and tons of FBI staffers. And I think it clearly shows that the dogma of deception lives loudly in James Comey and in the FBI.
Well, that's what the scary part is, that we have a new FBI director Christopher Wray, who was appointed by President Trump, and I'm sure is a fine person, but he is having to deal with these other individuals that are still there. But primarily, the deputy director of the FBI, who likely at this time, though Chris Wray was at DOJ, has got a better feeling and understanding because he's been there longer of kind of how things are operating, and has got his allies as well as those who are allied to Comey. He's still there, the deputy director. And he was involved in every part of this. He just wasn't out there as much officially until he became the interim director or acting director because Comey was the one making the oral statements and testifying under oath. Let's go right to the phones, take more of your phone calls. Dave calling in from New Jersey on line 6. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
Hey, we're good, Dave.
I just got to tell you, I don't buy the incompetence angle. I think this was purely strategic, political. Obviously, and thank God for the job that the ACLJ is doing, finding all this out. And my thing is, this should ruin the credibility of the whole Mueller investigation purely because of their friendship.
Well, let's not. You know, I would say this: Jim Comey should be investigated by the Department of Justice. It's a separate investigation. It has nothing to do with Bob Mueller or Russia, but it has to do with his conduct as FBI director, his testimony under oath, and whether or not that was perjury. I mean, for a number of reasons, his leaking of information after he left and was fired as FBI director, documents that he drafted on FBI computers, in FBI vehicles while he was FBI director, about his meetings while he was FBI director with the President of the United States, private meetings with the President of the United States, and then leaking that out and saying he intentionally did so so a special counsel would be appointed. I do think that their friendship brings into question how much Jim Comey and anything Jim Comey says should be taken at face value as any kind of witness in that setting, because I think Jim Comey himself needs to be investigated. I think that's the important part is, Than, it's become such a partisan issue, which likely when that happens is that no one ends up being satisfied. So instead of focusing in on what we can do to prevent, you know, Russia hacking into our actual ballot, you know, electronic ballots and preventing them from being able to purchase the ads so easily and affect elections or try to affect elections, it's become this partisan battle and the two issues get conflated. And that's a bad thing for the country because we're ultimately not focusing enough on securing our electoral system, which is so important to our nation, and instead we get it mixed in with the politics of the day.
Jordan, as bad as what happened is, the FBI, in my view, entangling themselves in the election, as bad as that is, I think even worse is what is happening now, and that is that the confidence in the FBI has been completely undermined for good reason. The American people don't have confidence in their top law enforcement agency right now. And look, they shouldn't, because I count on this email, 10 individuals plus Director Comey, that were all aware that a conclusion was being drawn on an investigation before dozens of witnesses were interviewed, before the target was interviewed, before witnesses that had been given immunity were interviewed. And Jordan, why did none of them object? At this point, we're getting documents. We're getting this email exchange. We don't have any evidence that anyone on this list objected. And by the way, one of those individuals was the top lawyer at the department. Another individual is now running the department. It's no wonder people don't have confidence in the organization.
Yeah, I mean, and then second to that, and just to make that clear for everybody, is that there's no evidence of the flip side of this being discussed. So that may come from Jim Comey and his allies, and we had radio callers say, well, maybe that exists. But Harry, they would not have draft indictments, you would hope, at the FBI. Because, one, that's not their role. But second, if they did have the opposite would be what they would potentially suggest to the Department of Justice in their findings. If they had that, you would think you'd put that out, too, at least indicate that it existed, because that would then settle one of the issues. Now, it still brings up the bigger issue of why is the FBI drafting, you know, what I criminally did wrong before they even talked to me. That's kind of scary and not necessarily a great policy, but it would certainly change kind of the posturing of Jim Comey's under oath statements.
I think that's absolutely correct. But the real question is, why is James Comey drafting a statement exonerating Hillary Clinton in the first place? He claimed that the reason he intervened was because of Attorney General Lynch's meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton. Clearly, that statement was false under oath. Why? Because he started writing his draft statement at least in May and probably before that. So clearly what we have is Comey's intervention. I think this is all part of what might be called deep state collusion, which is part of a faux investigation in Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Why wasn't she put under oath? Why were Heather Samuelson and Cheryl Mills given immunity? Why did he draft the statement before interviewing 12 important witnesses? All of those are very, very important questions that need to be clearly answered.
And where's the tarmac memo that he mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, let's take a listen to that. Byte 14, here is Jim Comey being asked about it by Senator Burt.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a ultimately conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
When was that tarmac meeting? That tarmac meeting occurred before. It occurred after they were already drafting the exoneration.
Absolutely.
I mean, so this exoneration was being drafted, I think, a month before, at least. That was at the last week of June. The tarmac meeting was the last week of June, and they were already drafting the exoneration in May. And he's telling another senator under oath, by the way, another elected official under oath, that he made this decision because of that meeting. So when he already knew that he had drafted the statement. Think about that. When he was making that testimony, guys, he was already had the statement drafted, and yet he told a senator the reason why he did what he did was because of a meeting that had occurred after he started drafting a statement.
It's another lie, Jordan. And I would tell you this, all the individuals on this that are now responsible for investigating themselves on the tarmac issue, the same thing is happening. Paige Hergueg was on all of those emails drafting the talking points. Where is she now? She's at the Senate Judiciary Committee running that investigation.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to keep analyzing this, take your phone calls as well. Harry's going to stay with us in the studio. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Also take your comments on Facebook and Periscope as well. We had a comment come in, you know, it does not take a law degree to figure out what is wrong here. I tend to agree with you. That was from Myrna on Facebook. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
just said to our Facebook and Periscope audience, I think it's the correct way, is that Jim Comey, what is made clear, like I think a lot of Obama officials, but I think he kind of takes the cake as someone who I think was outside even just being partisan. So I'm not saying, you know, it's because he was a Democrat or because he's Republican. He's actually, I think, a registered Republican. But he liked the power of Washington. He was the swamp. Better to explain it that way. And it wasn't so much about party to him as it was keeping his power as FBI director. And I think, you know, at best, he was incompetent and deserved to be fired. And then at worst, his conduct was criminal and he deserves to be prosecuted. So what do you do there? You investigate him. You don't investigate the president of the United States or a special counsel to investigate the president's campaign. You investigate the person who was at least incompetent as FBI director. Don't just take President Trump's word for it or Republicans' word for it. How about, you know, read Hillary Clinton's book? So you got everybody agreeing on that. So at least incompetent, potentially criminal because of at least perjury, the leaks that he gave of government documents. I mean, all of that, again, enough to investigate there. That's where the investigation should be of a top official, not campaign activities. That no one's found any evidence of the entire campaign, and then suddenly we need to spend, you know, all this other time on it, and then Jeff Sessions goes before the Judiciary Committee today, and that's what, you know, Al Franken is still talking to him about meeting with a Russian ambassador as a U.S. senator. Like, that is somehow wrong to do. I mean, somehow it became wrong to do, and so I think all of that goes to that. I want to take a phone call, then we'll get comments in from Harry and Than. Let's go to Jennifer calling in from California on line 3. Jennifer, welcome to JSecu Live.
Jordan, thank you. I think it's egregious that James Comey has not been investigated for the clear, I mean, obvious timeline of what he exonerated and why he had any business exonerating. The bottom line is, I do agree, it's taking away from the main efforts of Congress. And we have major critical issues with health care, with national security, with... So I thank you very much, and I agree he should be investigated at the very least for criminal activity.
I mean, Harry, that investigation could be going on, and maybe under a properly run Department of Justice by General Sessions. We just don't know about it because they don't tell you about active investigations. I mean, maybe that investigation is going on. I have some faith, but I still think the swamp is so deep that General Sessions is dealing with that I'm not sure, again, if those can be done without being thwarted.
Absolutely. So I think Than was absolutely correct. One of the big questions is, why are all of these FBI officials who colluded, arguably, with James Comey to protect Hillary Clinton still in office? They need to be removed expeditiously. Secondly, James Comey said that his conduct was designed to protect the credibility of the FBI. This is simply another James Comey falsehood. And the only defense that I think he can offer is that he is beginning to suffer from Alzheimer's.
I mean, he would have to come up with something. I mean, really, folks, because you cannot, there are documents proving all these statements. I mean, there's documents about all of this. And now we have it from the FBI. Let me take another phone call and get Than's in here as well. Let's go to Pat in New York on line 4. Pat, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hey, thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. I just have two real quick questions, one for Jordan and one for Than. Jordan, is there any type of a statute of limitations on these things that as long as it takes for the investigation to go on, that by the time it's conclusive, it's already over with because of the statute of limitation? And Than, what's the feeling up on the Hill? Is it everyone is starting to realize what's going on or just a few select members?
Well, I'll answer quickly. The statute of limitations, no way it would be run yet. So, I mean, some of these would have shorter perjury, things like that. But, I mean, we're still within the window of, you know, a year or less because we're just getting documents released. So not a statute of limitation issue right now. But, you know, a couple more years from now and you keep finding out information, yeah, I mean, you could start running into issues like that. I'll let Than answer the question on the Capitol Hill reaction, which to me, Than, it just seems overtly partisan, which is right. Which is sad that Democrats don't realize, because Hillary Clinton does, but they're trying not to mimic her on this, that how inadequate Jim Comey was for the job.
Yeah, I would start with the observation you made about today's Senate Judiciary Committee, where the Democrats are still focused on Russia collusion. But look, I would go across party lines, too. I think until Republicans and Democrats understand that the best way to counter potential foreign influence in elections is to have a strong FBI that stands in that gap, Jordan. And we don't have that right now. And quite frankly, while some of the questions are being asked of the FBI, they're not loud enough, they're not forceful enough from either side of the aisle. If we cannot clean our own intelligence shop first, then forget about pushing back against foreign interference.
Yep. All right. Let's go to Bob calling in from Wisconsin on line six. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
Just a quick question to the panel.
Yep.
I'm wondering, as I sit here and listen to these numbers of people who are have been obviously lying under oath or perhaps just lying, is immunity granted that is done so inappropriately or illegal be able to be voided or withdrawn?
I mean, people were relying on that immunity. So, Harry, I mean, you can't withdraw someone's immunity. You can disagree that it was given, but that would put our system into another bad place in law where you politically could decide when to withdraw immunity. Even if you strongly disagreed it was improper at the time, if people relied on it, they relied on it.
Absolutely. So I think you're absolutely right that we cannot remove immunity once it is given and once we've extracted testimony based on the immunity deal. It's unfortunate. In reality, what we should do is go after the officials who gave these individuals immunity in the first place.
All right, let's go to Melissa in Virginia on line one. Melissa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I'm wondering, is there an investigation into the real impact of Obama's executive order that opens so much intelligence into the agencies?
You're talking about the executive order expanding the release of the data to all the intelligence agencies, basically. I think there's 17 total. You know, there's like three or four main, and then there's these secondary intelligence agencies, and expanded the dissemination of this information found, you know, through FISA and the unmasking and all this information that obviously we believe could have certainly led to the initial deluge of leaks. I think that, I mean, part of the investigation into just the unmasking with Samantha Power, I mean, that is part of that. So I think, Melissa, yes, there is investigations being done by Congress, at least we know, because they are investigating the amount of unmasking requests, how those requests, some of that information then made it to the public, the leaking that was done. I mean, it does appear that, for now, we're kind of gotten back to the normal Washington leaks, more of a castle intrigue, we call it, staff to staff leaks, not so much of national security leaks. That seems to have been really quieted down.
But I would say that executive order made it almost impossible in the early days to get your arms around who might potentially have access to that information. I mean, Jordan, on your way out, the next administration, let's say that was the right recommendation.
Yeah.
They should have recommended to President Trump that he do that. No, instead they forced it on him, and then he had an impossible time getting his hands around who might have the information that was going to be leaked.
Yeah, it was just nonstop. Remember, for these first few months of the Trump presidency, it was major leak after major leak after major leak on national security issues, unmasking, and again, I think it was really tough to get started. And now I think the government's done a good job, the Trump administration's done a good job of getting its hands around it. But the information is still floating out there. The individuals are still testifying. We're still got Samantha Powell. You know, this is all still ongoing. So if you want to get to the bottom of these issues, you have to have groups like us, like at the ACLJ, who keep fighting for the information and keep fighting for the truth. You can't forget about it after it's interesting for a week or two. It takes time to get to the truth. We'll talk about it tomorrow as well. Join us on Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.